when you come to church, when you worship him, you're not doing it for God, really. You're doing it for yourself, because that's what makes God happy. Oh, really? Well, that's what we're going to be talking about on this Thursday, October the 9th, in the year of our Lord, 2014. And being a Thursday, it's Ruminations Thursday. So we have with us our good friend and co-host, Reverend Wes Reimnitz. Hi, Wes.
Good morning, Dr. Baker, Pastor Baker. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. And I'll tell you, the person I just quoted is neither a doctor nor a pastor, even though she thinks she is. Her name is Victoria Osteen, and I'll tell you, the internet has exploded against her for being honest with her theology. Well, what's your initial reaction when you heard this?
Well, my initial reaction was, because I believe it was back in August when she did this, and I took a look at it and I said, oh my, it really misses what worship's all about, and then kind of dismissed it in the internet. And ever since then, you are correct. The internet has exploded like all kinds of things out there about what worship should be.
Yeah, one of the best ones I read, and this is from the internet where people are criticizing her. If you're going to call yourself a preacher, which she does, then do it by actually preaching the gospel, the blood of Christ, the suffering that we as Christians will face due to being faithful to his word. Instead, the Osteens have turned church into some self-help prosperity seminar. They don't want to offend or gross people out by talking about the crucifixion or death or blood of Jesus. That's how you know they are phony. A gospel without Jesus' blood is not the gospel.
Yeah, that's very, it gets right to the point there. I mean, why does our Lord gather us for worship? Because Jesus serves us again and again as his gospel is proclaimed, his people are baptized, his word is read, and we celebrate the Lord's Supper.
You see, when you're dealing with the Osteens and they want a self-help prosperity seminar, it's really kind of interesting that, as one writer put it, for her, God's number one priority is making us happy. Boy, it's too bad the Apostle Paul didn't understand that.
I would agree with you on that.
Or any of the disciples. How are you happy when you are martyred?
Martyred, yeah. I mean, you get that whole phrase in there, but wouldn't you call it a form of work righteousness?
Absolutely. It's a form of work righteousness in this sense, that they believe that with the help of God, you can accomplish anything. And therefore, if you're not accomplishing it, it's because either a lack of faith on your part or you're not working hard enough.
And therein lies the difference of why we come to worship. Do we come for God to serve us through his word and his sacrament, or do we come to serve God somehow? It's our approach to the cross. It's our approach to God. We got to do something versus it's already done for us through the gospel.
Yes, it's important. For example, the German word used a lot of times by Lutherans in regard to worship, it's Gottesdienst. And that's actually from two German words. Gottes is God, and Dienst is slave or servant. That in reality, what a worship service is God, our servant, is serving us with the greatest news that can ever be heard, that our sins are forgiven, we wear the robe of righteousness, and many other promises connected to that.
And I think, very well said, and I think added to that is, Barry wrote this article, What About Lutheran Worship?
Barry?
Al Barry. He used to be the former president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
And what did he have to say?
This was interesting. He goes, the divine service is a holy time, a setting apart. It's a time to be apart from our workaday world. It's time to spend with our Lord. It's a time that we gather in the presence of the holy and almighty living God. And we set apart a time of heaven on earth, And I've heard this from lay people many times, that in our divine service, after it's over, they said it felt like we were in heaven on earth, that we received those gifts from God of His Word and His sacraments and that wonderful forgiveness.
And those gifts can come to somebody who is suffering incurable cancer or just had a loved one die. It doesn't mean that you're happy that those things happened at all. And so when you set up your worship to make people happy and they walk out not happy, they think they failed. They think that they aren't trusting God enough. And it's a huge burden. This is why statistics show churches like the Osteens, people only stay 4 or 5 years until they finally realize that, boy, it's not that easy to become a multimillionaire like Osteen is and his wife by means of the life that they're leading. And they get dissatisfied because it's simply not working in their life.
Well, it becomes an endless treadmill, you know. If you've ever been at one of these exercise clubs, you get on a treadmill and it never ends. It never ends until you hit the kill switch.
Yep. I just saw recently on television, Osteens are advertising that they're starting a membership site for $4.95 a month, where you're going to be able to get extra material from them, and you might even be able to call them and ask for advice for a larger amount of money. And I'm thinking, you know, he's got on his Facebook about 7 million people, and if only 100,000 sign up for that, that's $500,000 a month more that he's going to be making. And how can we think about somebody like that, whose real message is not theology at all, but psychology? And I think this one person really hit it on the head, that it's a prosperity seminar, a self-help seminar, and of course, it doesn't work in the vast majority of families.
No, because it really works against what the gospel is about. I mean, you come right back to it, that we're there to hear that good news of Jesus Christ and God serving us in our worship.
Well, I can understand why Lutherans cannot buy into Osteen, particularly since, as one person I just said, they don't want to offend anybody. What offends people more than anything is a proper preaching of the law. Why is that?
Well, very simply put, you know, we teach our kids in confirmation SOS the law and SOS the gospel. SOS the law is, it shows us our sins. It shows where we fall short. And, you know, in the self-help gospel sort of situation with the old scenes is we can do something to, quote, honor God or somehow that we can come closer to Him. When in reality, if you look in, for instance, in Ephesians chapter 2, it says we were dead in our trespasses. We were dead from the neck up. We were dead from the neck down. There wasn't any way that we could approach God.
Yeah, I've been trying to think of an analogy we could use. But the closest I come to, you know, it just seems to be a fact that when I eat food, the food that is best for me is not something I like. Have you ever noticed that?
Well, there are some foods I do like.
But oh, yeah. Well, like double cheeseburgers or triple cheeseburgers or things like that. But imagine if you had a restaurant and all the food there was just filled with sugar and cheese and all kinds of things. It would be very, very tasty, and a lot of people would go there. But after a few years of just eating that kind of food, all of a sudden you start got to take pills. You may end up with diabetes. You may have all kinds of problems. And you may start now going to food that is more healthy for you.
And well, yeah, I would agree with you. In fact, doctors would call those the comfort foods. It comforts you for a while, but in the end, it kills you.
Well, that's a good analogy, because the Osteen type of religion is a comfort religion, because it strokes your ego. It tells you things about yourself that are totally untrue, but that you love to hear, that you have the ability to become rich like they are, and that you're going to have a lot of pleasure, and that the goal of life is to be happy.
I agree with you. And when you read through the Gospels, it was a myriad of people, rich and poor, that clinged to the Gospels. And some of them probably never became rich after they came to faith in Christ, but they had the good news of knowing their forgiveness of sin and heaven was theirs.
Wednesday, we talked about the distinction between the theologian of self-glory and the theologian of the cross. The self-glory theologian looks at his experience, what's going on in his life, to try and figure out whether God loves him. So if he's rich, if he has a wonderful family, if things are going well, God loves him. But if these things aren't happening yet, then God still has work to do, and you have work to do with God. That's the kind of message we get from the Osteens.
Huh. They forgot the book of Job, didn't they?
The book of Job is just something I don't know if they would ever preach on, simply because it shows the necessity of suffering that God uses in order to bring us closer to him. And in fact, I think a worship service is an act of suffering. As you hear the law, you put to death your old Adam. The word we use there is called repentance, which is contrition and faith in Jesus Christ. And I don't see any of that. Just listen to any of their so-called sermons. They may think they're pastors. In fact, Joel Osteen a number of times has indicated that he's never been to a seminary, and he is proud of that. And then he goes on, and when he preaches, he proves that he's never been to a seminary because he doesn't have a proper understanding of God's word.
That's tragic in that sense. But, you know, when you talk about worship and hearing the law and then we repent and things like that, I remember a few months back that you and Mark Smith talked about the confession of sins and the absolution that we receive so early in that worship service and how that kind of takes the sting of the law away so that when we can listen to a sermon and listen how we have fallen apart and how we are saved through the gospel. And I thought that was very key.
Yes. One other email writer said, instead of telling people that following the real Christ is some mushy, fuzzy feelings things, or that God will grant you your wildest dreams if you just declare it into existence, why don't the Osteens actually preach from the Word of God? Jesus is not a magic genie. And then quotes 1 John 4:1, dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world.
Very well said. You know, back to Al Berry and his Lutheran worship, he says, you know, Lutheran worship puts its focus squarely on Jesus Christ, and therefore his word and his sacraments are with us and is very Christ-centered. It's not man-centered. And I think that's the difference when we look at Christian worship. It should be Christ-centered, not man-centered.
Yes, using your language, therefore, the kinds of sermons that are inappropriate are those that are comfort sermons. And in fact, they're following the wiles of Satan. Because what did Satan promise to Adam and Eve if they would only eat of the forbidden fruit? They would become like
God, yeah.
Yes, and they would really be happy. Well, as soon as they ate of that, of course, they realized that they were sinners, tried to dress in items that would be drenched by the sun in no time. And so they actually were put to death in the sense that they no longer were alive in God because they had tried to become their own gods.
And I think that's a good point in their answers when God says, what have you been up to? You know, where have you been? And they go, for the man, it says, it's the woman you created. That's how I know I'm naked and I sinned. And then the woman is the creation you gave. We go back and blame God. We're back to Job again.
Yeah, we really are, and it isn't until they heard the promise of the gospel about a Savior coming through the seed of Eve that they came to faith. And I can't really think of anybody in the Bible. Well, what prophet lived a happy life?
Mm.
I mean, certainly well, Jesus didn't.
Well, you know, if you remember last Sunday, we had Jeremiah, and the people were ready to put Jeremiah to death because he talked about the sins of Judas.
Yes.
And he was like, whoa, he says, you're going to kill the messenger? It's the message that I bring to you.
You know, one of the worst translations in the Bible a lot of times are the Beatitudes, which start off with, happy are those, rather than blessed. And I never did figure that one out. Happy are those who are persecuted for my name's sake. No, we're not happy that we're persecuted, but we are blessed. Because as Paul says, we just get a little inkling of what Jesus went through for us, and we're willing to do that as his disciples. And this is something that you just don't find in any of the so-called sermons, which really aren't sermons by the Osteens, because the sermon has to preach Christ and him crucified, but instead, as one person indicated, ways of making you happy.
I would agree. And happy that you're being persecuted. You know, there was an article that 185 Christian churches were burnt to the ground in Nigeria by Muslims, radical Muslims. I don't think they were too happy about that.
You know, I would wonder how they would even preach a sermon if they were in Nigeria, you know, to those people. I mean, the only reason the Osteens are successful is that in the United States, you do have the freedom to worship and say whatever you want, as well as, you know, start businesses and this sort of thing. But what is it, 80% of businesses that are started fail within the first 2 years?
Yep, a very high percentage.
So the fact is that happiness is not God's goal. God's goal is to save you. And he didn't do it in a happy way. Remember Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane? I wonder what Osteen would say to him when he asked that this cup be removed. Mm. I mean, he didn't sound very happy at all.
Or you go to the cross and you hear the words of Jesus, "My Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do."
Well, he also said, my God, why have you forsaken me?"
Exactly.
And he didn't do that with a smile on his face.
No, because at that point, you know, God turns his back on. You know, Jesus is the only person that knows what it means to be lonely and abandoned by God.
Now, every unbeliever will know that when they go to hell.
Yes.
But the believers will never know that. Because through faith in Jesus Christ, God promises never to abandon them, never to forsake them. We've got such a great message in Christianity. It's just such a shame that you have these individuals like Osteen and others who denigrate the sacraments, speak out against infant baptism. And I know this sounds like a kind of a negative thing, but there comes a time when you need to warn our listeners about being careful in who you are listening to. And you test them by their fruit. And in my opinion, that means you test them by the doctrine that they preach. Show me one sermon where they preach the message that you are righteous in God's sight right now because of the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. You just never hear that from the Osteens, because something else is more important for them.
And you're right. You know, coming up the end of October is October 31st, which is Reformation Day. Before it was Halloween, it was Reformation. So in our churches on the 31st and the Sunday before the 26th, it's going to be Romans chapter 3, which talks about that we have forgiveness of sins through Christ who died on the cross for us.
Yes. So, if anybody wants to call on any of this, number in St. Louis, 821-0850. Toll free is 1-800-730-2727. So, what for you, when you prepare a worship service or a sermon, is the essence of what you're trying to reach?
Oh, I'm trying to reach them in faith to our Lord Jesus Christ, centered around the gospel and the love that is found in the forgiveness at that gospel. You know, I've peppered so many of my sermons with the last words of Jesus, whether it's, you know, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," to just what you said, you know, "My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" That our whole thing is so wrapped up in that forgiveness that is found at the cross of Jesus Christ, and his blood spilt, and he covers us with his sin. This coming Sunday, I'll be down in Tennessee because it's my grandson's baptism. And there we see that glorious exchange in baptism. The Holy Spirit comes into him. The robes of his sins are taken off, and he's given the robes of righteousness through Christ.
All right, let's go to the phone lines and talk with Cheryl. Cheryl, you're on.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. When you were talking about the reluctance to preach the law and the SOS, it shows us our sin, that we fall short. I was thinking one thing that the law shows us is that in God's eyes, we're really helpless infants. We can't do anything to save ourselves. I think a lot of people don't want to hear that. They don't like to think of themselves as helpless at any point in life. Like with my mom with dementia, she's getting more and more helpless. She can't read her clocks.
Yep.
So she can't tell what time it is to go to dinner. And she keeps telling me, oh, the Lord is helping me. He's waking me up just in time to go to dinner.
And what we need to realize is that unbelievers have a spiritual dementia, that they can't read the signs at all properly until they come to faith in Jesus Christ. And I think that's a pretty good analogy to use. We'll certainly pray for your mother, and I sure appreciate you giving us a ring.
Okay, thank you.
God bless. You know, go ahead.
I think it's a wonderful point, though, we also need to make, too, that even though her mother may go through dementia, you know, the fact that she probably came to faith in Christ already, that dementia is not going to take away the fact that she is a believer in Christ, and Christ is watching over her.
It's an important point to make on Judgment Day. God doesn't judge you on the basis of what is in your mind, but rather what is in your heart. And he alone can read your heart. And therefore, I would totally agree with you that illnesses that seem to really change the character of a person don't have any effect on whether they're saved or not, because God is judging them by the basis of their heart. And even we have trouble deciding, you know, how to judge our hearts.
Very good.
So I appreciate this. She really hit the nail on the head. If the Osteens began their messages with "you are totally helpless," I don't think their, you know, attendance would be very high at all, because people don't want to hear that they're totally helpless. What they want to hear is that they have the ability to make the decisions that they want to make. And therefore, it's something that, in my view, would really throw these people off.
I agree. And, you know, Paul puts it a different way in Colossians chapter 3. He says, if you've been raised with Christ, keep on seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, and set your mind on the things above, where Christ is seated and your life is hidden with God, with Christ in God.
Yes. All right. As I said, our numbers here are 821-0850, 1-800-730-2727. Let's go speak with Mike. You're on the air. Hello, Mike. Are you there? Okay. What
we
is...
lost them, huh?
No, I don't think so, but it's not coming up. Okay. Mike, are you on the air?
I appreciate this. She really hit the nail on the head.
Mike?
Hello?
Hello, you need to turn off your radio, please.
Oh, okay, sure.
Who's this?
Joe.
Joe, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Joe.
Hi. Okay, wait just a second. Let me get the radio off. I'm
sure.
On my computer, and I'm so computer illiterate that I can't figure anything out. I just wanted to make a comment about what you said about by knowing your works. It is like you've mentioned, we measure sometimes works not by the spiritual success, but sometimes they look at it by the financial success. And people like this Cheryl and Joel Osteen, they have material success, and so therefore they think that they are successful and that they're doing God's work. But it's really like what you said, the it's the spiritual, bringing the true message of Christ, and not the this other. And that's all I wanted to say.
Thank you very much. That's an excellent point. Any response to that, Wes?
I think he said it extremely well. You know, our worship is Christ-centered, not man-centered.
That's really a good point. Well, we're out of time, unfortunately. I'm not able to take any more questions. But we do want to make very clear to you that the Osteens are not proper preachers. And from God's point of view, neither one of them are pastors. Because you can call yourself whatever you want, but if God doesn't recognize that, then that's all that really counts from our point of view. So, we thank you so much for listening. Tomorrow is going to be Open Mic Friday, an opportunity for us to take any of your questions and answer them. And if we're unable to answer them, we'll look the answers up and get back to you on the following broadcast. The number to phone tomorrow will be 1-800-730-2727 for Open Mic Friday on any theological question. And please call early. Thank you so much. Till tomorrow, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. You can write Pastor Baker at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. We are the messenger of good news, KFUO.